You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY, Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Radio is yours. What is success? What does it mean to be successful? Is it all about money? Or is it all about love, fame, attention? Or is it some secret other thing that we've yet to explore? I'm Brianna Wheeler, and I want to know what success means to the people that I think are successful. Because success can mean so many different things to so many different people. So let's discover a few new ways together. This is Success Stories. To Success Stories, a 30-minute radio program and accompanying podcast featuring Portlanders who have found success in unique and inspiring ways, and in doing so, have shifted Portland's creative, economic, and cultural landscape. Success Stories is about the people who give, nurture, and help keep Portland's reputation as the coolest, nerdiest, weirdest, and most beautiful city in the nation fully intact. Today we're speaking to the founder of Toolbox Gallery, Sayona Belai. Did I say that name right? Good. Okay. Today we're talking to the founder of Toolbox Gallery, Sayona Belai. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Sayona.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. For the uninitiated, Toolbox Gallery is in downtown Milwaukee, cute little suburb of Portland. And they're not the typical fine art gallery that you would find in the Portland Metro. In fact, they are quite a bit different. Toolbox features, or spotlights rather, artists whose primary work is in trades. So carpenters, pipe fitters, etc., are encouraged to explore their fine art inclinations, and they're pursued to do that by Sayona, who started this gallery because of her own interest in the fine arts and her own career in the trades. Sayona, tell me about how you became inspired to pivot from working in trades to actually not only being a gallery owner, but somebody who's cultivating an entire new section of artists.
Well, after my background is in art history, and I ended up working in the trades to make a living. And in the process, I learned a great deal about the trades workers and their creativity and how they are not celebrated equally around in the industry. Basically, we have the architect, the engineers, and the craft trade workers. And the trade workers, specifically the blue collar, is pretty much dismissed. We need their work, they do the work, but they are not celebrated or acknowledged. And after physically knowing them in person, working with them and appreciating them, and I wanted to do something to spotlight their work.
Was there any particular tradesperson that you interacted with that inspired the founding, or was it just interacting with this contingent of workers in general that inspired it?
It's interacting with contingent of workers, being on this job site every day, taking pictures, talking to them, learning their stories, and knowing the work that goes underground with the manhole, knowing that what the sheet metal worker does, how much knowledgeable he is. And so I wanted to celebrate them because they are worth being celebrated.
Absolutely.
They are gifted.
Mm-hmm. How is it that you were able to see in that work fine art?
Because what they do is actually fine art. It's just not defined as fine art. They are skilled workers. They have a skill. And they also have to be physically fit to do their work. They are athletes in a way. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, we celebrate our athletes, but we really don't see the trades workers as such. But they're athletes and they're skilled athletes. And so in seeing what's done before the walls are covered, in seeing what's underground and how it all ties up, I started looking at it as art. And I started taking pictures, painting them sometimes, celebrating them in the office and job sites. And when the late Paul Allen purchased my paintings, that really made me feel like I'm going through the right direction, because he's purchasing artwork of the craft trade workers, the laborers, the carpenters, the plumbers. And so he putting them in canvas, framing them and hanging their work as fine art is elevating them. And the fact that he appreciated that and he personally purchased them made me feel that I'm going the right direction.
Tell me about your art education. When we spoke initially, I remember you saying that you had gone to Reed?
At Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark.
Yes.
And studied fine art, but
yes.
Were drawn to the trades as a career.
Yes.
But kept up your practice, kept your painting practice up. Were you like exclusively
yes.
painting what you were experiencing in your career life? Were you just painting
yes.
the trades?
Yes. Yeah, before the trades, I painted children, people, usually villagers, people that are not necessarily highlighted, but they're so beautiful and they're real. And so I was always drawn to painting pictures of villagers and the craft workers, people doing basket work and knitting. And so eventually when I started working in construction, I started looking at the trades workers in the same mirror, and I continued to paint and show the group shows. I was part of a co-op for a long time. And then, but my painting took a different turn. It became more of celebrating the trades.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thread that you were always painting people, workers. You
yes.
were painting people just living, working
yes.
and living.
Mm-hmm.
And what an interesting evolution from then to here now, where this is what you do. You get to spotlight, like really, and not just spotlight. I really want to put an emphasis on this. You're doing more than platforming these people. You have created a cultural, I mean, is it too much to call it a phenomenon? I think when we think of Milwaukee, we're thinking of it as a lumber town. It's small, it's blue collar. But what you have brought out of that city is a creative lifeline that is blooming like flowers in springtime. It's breathtaking.
Thank you.
Did you have to convince these tradespeople that they were fine artists?
They were uncomfortable at first. They didn't think like, oh, really? You think this is important? You think this is valuable? And so, for example, when we had our first show, all our workers were invited, and they were all ended up getting membership to the Portland Art Museum and to getting prints of the show that was going on by the artist. And they were just surprised. They were surprised that they can be celebrated, and they want to bring their kids in the weekend. And I want my wife to see me like this. This is so good. You know,
yeah.
I'm just really happy.
Yeah, that's another, it was another point that stood out to me when we were talking about this community that's formed around the gallery, is that there's this idea of fine art openings, and it's little wine glasses and it's little cheese plates. And that's kind of how we look at a fine art opening. But what you have created is a community celebration. People are bringing their children, their families. It's a party. I mean, I remember you specifically saying that you had stations set up so that kids could also indulge and explore creativity during these shows.
Right.
Who's doing that? Who else is doing that?
Yeah, we want everybody. We want the people who are retired because they have a great deal of knowledge, lessons we can learn from them and celebrate them.
That is another thread in our conversation that stood out to me quite a bit, was how openly and warmly you are embracing not just people that are in trades right now currently working, but that there's this intergenerational component to the gallery that is as important, it's just as an important a thread as every other thread that creates this tapestry.
Yes.
How are you navigating that intergenerational piece of this puzzle? Are you at the community centers? Are you at retirement villages? How are you finding those artists?
Sure. Mostly we're finding them through friends and through the union, through community events, their senior newspapers. So going there, showing art or telling them about Toolbox. And for example, we just met an artist 2 weeks ago who lives in Milwaukee, who's been painting for over 30 years and also doing sculpture work. And she deserves to be recognized, you know, an art beat or some program like that, but no one knew her. And she heard about Toolbox, so she contacted us. She came and saw it, and we're going to be exhibiting her work in October. So there's a lot of people are coming. The community is very excited. They don't have an art space like this. We offer all workshops and artist talk. Everything is free. There's food provided. Instructors are compensated. So it's a very art. Most people are saying, you know, we can't afford art, but this is free art. Mm. And they're sharing and bringing their family or telling us about opportunity where we can also partner with other organizations. So it's beautiful.
Very. Mm-hmm. In that community is such a cornerstone of the gallery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You talked about selling one of your paintings to Paul Allen and that being a little bit of a turning point for you. Were there any other inspirational figures on this journey that pushed you into Toolbox?
Yes, yes. Laura Russo, the late Laura Russo, who used to own the Laura Russo Gallery. Mm-hmm. I worked for her for a year and I learned a great deal. And her gallery was more like going to college. You're not pressured to sell, you're pressured to learn, to talk. She's very open, and a great deal of before the show comes, I spend 2-3 weeks researching about the artist. And it's about relationship, it's about making the community safe and educated and happy to share the joy. And you start looking at art in a very, like a museum. Her gallery was very outstanding. She was a great mentor to me. And also Steve Robinson, the first person who hired me to work in the construction project. He realized I wasn't very interested in the construction itself first because I thought it was messy and dirty. I didn't want to do anything with it. But gave me a paycheck, but he gave me a camera and he said, take pictures every day, go on the job site. So every day I went there, I learned a lot from the craft trade workers directly. Mm-hmm. I saw change, what happened today, the next day is different. And I asked questions. And the more I asked questions, the more I learned how skilled they are, how their work is beautiful. So he really encouraged me to look at things differently and gave me the opportunity.
You actually own your own construction company.
Yes.
Now, what was that path like? And how are you managing Toolbox Gallery and also your own construction company?
Yes, yes. So my construction company came because I was inquiring. I was about to have a child. I was married and I was about to have my first daughter. And I learned about maternity leave that was 6 weeks and not paid. And really, it just became a topic of conversation every day at lunchtime. I would complain about it. And then a couple of coworkers said, why don't you open your own company and you can manage your time off? And so, and it can be our subcontractor because, you know, our system, you've been working with us for a long time. So I took that and I had a baby shower, and then I, you know, a week or two later, I passed my exam and I opened my company, and my former employer became my client. My So it was a very easy transition. I knew the requirements of the job, how to do, you know, how to meet their expectation, because I worked inside. I knew how we would look at subcontractors. So I pretty much mirrored that scale of presentation, meeting deadlines. And so it was easy for them as well, because I already knew what's expected. And so that was very easy transition. And I had few friends and my husband's friends who were carpenters, so they became my employees. And running a business is a different story. You know, managing, working, reading blueprints and executing project management is different than running a business. So I learned how to run the business, but I had a lot of relationship. So I think I really, I'm very, relationships are important to me. Mm-hmm. The people you're working with today can be your future clients or their relatives. So if you treat people well, with respect, they respect you, but that friendship is still there. You know, you may not see them for 10 years, but you'll run into them and you catch up again. So that was a good segment, how I went about running my company. And over the years, it's been mostly worked with people that have been here for many, many years. And some hire their brothers, their friends, their cousins. So it's a very small family-oriented business. And I work with maybe 5-6 general contractors, because then we know their expectations and we can fulfill that comfortably. And then running Toolbox has been a passion. So Toolbox has not been, it doesn't feel like work. I think lately I spend a lot of time on Toolbox and Toolbox programming, where I'm enjoying it. And even my project manager told me when we have incidents in the job, and he, you know, he has to talk to me, and it's a conversation we have to address. He would tell me, "I bring Toolbox, and you're so happy." So the mood changes. The second stage of talking about the construction is a lot more easier, because I'm already happier, fueled with the joy of Toolbox. It's a joy. It's really fun.
And you're bringing so much joy to that community too. Mm-hmm. Very full circle.
Thank you.
When you think about the most successful version of Toolbox, when I look at it from the outside now, and I've got a really great vantage point, it looks like a success. Your life looks like a success. You set these goals, you achieve these goals, you've built this beautiful community, you've connected all of these people that might not have been connected over this specific thing before. And that really says something about your character and your drive, but it doesn't tell me how you feel about yourself and your success. Do you feel successful? And if if you do, what's the most successful version that you imagine?
Sure. I feel that we're perceived well. I feel successful, but we're at the early stage. There's a lot more to do. I want the work that we exhibit to go to museums. I want the tradespeople, I want the perception of the craft trade people to be changed. I want it to be, the most important thing for me is for others to see craft trade workers as important, as skilled, as talented people as they are. I want to put a spotlight on them. I want them to be celebrated. And so having the shift of perception is the highest goal I have.
When you think about that shift in perception, do you think it happens in the gallery, or do you think it happens like in the community with just you being present and communicating?
I think it happens in the gallery, in the community. I think it's going to happen in the workshops we have. We have tradespeople putting workshops. non-trade people are attending. So the perception is going to change over time with how people are educated. I would like this to go to classrooms. I would like trace people to be in history book, and I want children to look at them in the way we look at other professionals, with respect. And hopefully the industry also picks that up. The construction industry is a marriage, right? The architect and the field executor. So the respect and the perception, when that changes, I think I'm very successful.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What's on deck for 2026? You've got tradespeople coming in to do and workshops, but I've also, when I visited the gallery, you had art workshops that you were working on. And then also these amazing debut programs. Tell me about the event that just happened on Saturday.
Yes. So this Saturday we have the Hadleys. They are the first Black bakers in the state of Oregon. These couple are 84 years old.
Oh my gosh.
They're still fun to talk to. And they have amazing work of art and craft. We had to get special permission from the Oregon Historical Society to bring their work. They have recipes, they have photographs, and just sharing their wealth, having them here present. It was very big, successful opening. We had a lot of people, over 200 people. We had, you know,
wow,
musicians, food. It was just a very big celebratory. And they're just joyful. They are people who survived the Bamford, you know. And so we have them here. It's just wonderful.
That's incredibly powerful. What was the, you said there were 200 people there?
Over 200 people.
That's cool. So it was in the street then. It must have spilled out into the street.
Oh yes, we had we made a relationship with the church across, and we had all the food there.
Oh,
because the gallery couldn't have the food with all the artwork we had here from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor came. There were a lot of people, and some people came from Mississippi, from Texas, from Louisiana. So I think it was a very, was so wonderful. I just was so happy. And I also was so happy to see the joy in the couple.
Right. Oh, gorgeous. Has Milwaukee, like as a city, as an entity, the mayor, the government, have they embraced you as closely and as warmly as the rest of the community?
Oh, yes. They're very supportive. The mayor puts our events on our Facebook. The council writes about it. They're very, very involved. They participate in the workshops.
Wow.
So it's really fun. Yeah. For we had a musician who's a carpenter, who's also a musician, a poet, and he performed, and our mayor was here and surprised us that she can read Russian. He wrote his poems in Russian and English, and she preferred to read the Russian section, and she surprised him. And so it's been a lot of, exciting. And he performed every day, the whole month of November and December, to the general public.
Wow. Is it a precursor to be involved in the gallery to have a trade?
Is it important?
In order to participate in a show or to be a musician.
We primarily want to show craft trade workers, but we have 2 months out of the year for local community artists.
Love.
That way we want to be embrace everyone. And we have a month that we show only work of children and teenagers. So the kids can have, they're given canvases and brushes, and they paint the work at home, bring it in. They tell us the title and we hang it. And so the whole month of August, they have reception every week, and they come with their parents, grandparents, and also for other community artists who, you know, are not showing, they can have workshop. This way, they're part of Toolbox, because the craft trade workers can come after work and participate in art program that's run by an artist that's not necessarily a craft trade person, but an artist to share some art. And lately we've been talking to Jennifer, the gallery assistant, and we're going to be having a weekly night drop-in art show for people 5 to 7. They can come for free and do some art and go. And so drawing and painting, and this will be weekly.
An open studio for the community.
Yes, basically. Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, it really, like, it stands to, like, really press that point of just how inclusive this gallery is. Even though the umbrella is Toolbox, yes. It's for the trades.
Yes.
But is it? I think it feels like it's for Milwaukee. And
it's
Milwaukee just happens to be a trades
everyone.
Town.
Yeah. And Jennifer is an artist herself, so she came up with this idea, which I think is beautiful.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From inception to today, mm-hmm. is there any, like, what's been your favorite part? Is there, like, one event that really stands out as, ooh, that was the best? I loved that.
To be honest, every event is so different and beautiful. And it's the first one, we were all prepared for 2 months, and we had, you know, amazing work and show and sunny day. And then the next one comes, you have a whole different show, a whole different personality, a whole different perception from the public. And you're like, well, he's 92 years old. He's been doing this for 57 years. And he brings his work, he frames his art. You just, like, you have a whole different respect. He's an architect by trade, but he's also a fine painter. And to see the calmness, the kindness these artists bring, and they want to share with others, I think it makes you appreciate art, and art becomes a healing point where people feel loved and respected. And just there's kindness. Your eye is looking at something beautiful and kind, and you're talking to the artist, or you're listening to them talk, and how much generous they are with sharing information or giving. It's humbling. So every show has been really different, and every show has been quite beautiful in its own way. You know? Yeah.
And we expect so many more. Keep them coming. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Siona. I think it is my truest hope that someone hears you describe this journey and feels inspired to pursue their own, because they see themselves in your story. I see myself in your story. I think the passion, the community-based love is really, really inspirational. What you're doing out there is, like, top tier, elite work, elite, Siona, truly.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. Yeah.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another episode of Success Stories. We'll see you next week. And until then, remember, success is what you make it. And we're out. Thank you. Stories is written, produced, and hosted by Brianna Wheeler. Music provided by New Baron Sound.